Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel and chapter 4. And I want to go back and do something. This will be a different service because God told me in specific terms when I was praying to do something this morning. So in Daniel chapter 4 here, we started our conversation about how we, it says, be gentle as doves, be wise as serpents. I have sent you as sheep among wolves. Practical steps there, right, when we are engaged. Practical steps we take as we interact in our daily lives, in secular work, and to understand that the laws, right, that govern our interaction in terms of church, right, are somewhat different when it comes to our secular endeavor. And we said that because Christians do not understand fully, all right, these principles and this wisdom, many a times they have pulled themselves out of areas in their secular life that God positioned them, got offended at certain things, and pulled themselves out thinking that they were doing it in service to God. So it's important that we understand this. And in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, it tells us that this was Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he could not get the interpretation. He called Daniel and Daniel brought the interpretation. And there is a major lesson here. And it says in verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones. So the intent for this purpose, that the living, in other words, everybody might know that the Most High, and that's why it's recorded in the Bible, that we also might know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. In other words, in the kingdom of men, now people might understand this and say there's a move of the Spirit in the church and all of that, and then they look at the world and say, you know, God is not involved in this, but in the church there's a move of the Spirit. But it says in the kingdom of men, where you have a group of men there, where you have a company or even a family, and there is a kingdom of men, that the invisible hand of God is involved in it. That he rules in that kingdom and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. In other words, God is involved. And we saw this, and we think about it, right? We saw that God judged Nebuchadnezzar for taking the honor and glory for the building of Babylon. Now, Babylon doesn't represent anything that is godly, right? But God said, listen, I raised up that kingdom for my own purpose. In the same way, he said, I raised up Pharaoh, all right, and his heart was hardened because there was something I wanted to fulfill in and through him. That I will have compassion on whoever will have compassion, and I will allow to be hardened whoever, all right, will be hardened there. And so we saw Herod in the book of Acts. I mean, the move of God was going on in the church in Jerusalem. All right, Peter, James, and all of that. And then we saw Herod now taking the glory for his throne. And the Bible tells us that God said that because he took the glory and he did not give God the glory, immediately, the Bible says. Now, he killed James, nothing happened to him. He attempted to kill Peter, nothing happened. But when he went and took the glory, and this was a secular thing, you will have felt that the only place where you should be giving God glory, all right, is with Peter, James, and John, where the miracles were going on. They're not in Herod's palace there, but he took the glory, and God, all right, immediately hit him there, and the worms ate him up because he touched the glory. So we are saying that we understand this. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He permeates every single part of this earth. And his invisible hand is in every single thing. And people of God have to understand that when they go out there in their secular endeavor and they're interacting with people, that the divine or the intelligence of God is involved in those relationships. The mind of God is there, and it's important that they align themselves, connect with that, and God intends to give that kingdom to them once they open up, all right, concerning that particular thing. So if we go on again in verse 33, we also see here, right, that the scripture says, or verse 31, or from 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I've built for the house of my kingdom by my might, of my power, and honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So God took his kingdom. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling will be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 years, or 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. And so he was removed from the mainstream of what was going on in that particular generation. He was now an outcast. He was now eaten with animals. And for the church, for us to be able to be in the mainstream, to have, you know, a proper seat on the table. And this is what God wants to say, is in that kingdom, I want to demonstrate my intelligence through you, so that everybody inside that place will have an encounter with the name of God. And through that, we will convert those kingdoms of men into kingdoms of God, kingdom of God. In other words, wholesale, so to speak. Everybody comes to recognize who God is because of the way in which you have manifested the intelligence of God in that place, the way you have possessed the kingdom in that place, and people get converted. Just like when Daniel was there, the whole of Babylon got converted by certain things that happened. So it's not even that you're knocking and saying, listen, I'm telling you to give your life to Jesus, all right? But it's that people see things going on. Even the boss sees and calls you aside and says that, I don't understand, where is all this coming from? And the whole kingdom recognizes. People leave that place. And when they even, you know, are doing other things and they talk about Jesus, all right, they know, look, we have experienced it with somebody. Somebody has manifested the intelligence of God to us, and we understand what this Christianity stuff, all right, is all about. So, what happened here was, you know, he was taken aside, right? And many times Christians, we saw it, Paul said they've gone out of this world, even though they're in the world. In other words, we are not in the mainstream. We don't have a seat right there at the table there, because we react and we don't understand that God reigns in the affairs of the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills. And Daniel 5, because of time, I don't want to go into it. Nebuchadnezzar's son made exactly the same mistake. And Daniel had to tell him. He said, during your father's days, he went through all of this because of pride, and God lifted up. And you also are making the same mistake. You have not seen it fit to give glory, honor to God. Now, how was Nebuchadnezzar restored? The Bible tells us in verse 34, and this is the first step. When we are dealing there, walking as sheep among wolves, interacting there in the kingdoms of men on the earth. First step is to give God glory for every single thing and to be a true worshiper. So place worship, the worship of God, first in your life. Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar get out of it? In verse 34, he said, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. So he looked up to heaven, and said, I recognize that you rule over the earth, that everything has come from heaven. The Bible says a man cannot receive something except it be given from heaven. So he looked back. I shall lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He redirected. He had been looking at, all right, his skill, his understanding, the people around him, the relationships, all of that. Now he went back and looked up to heaven. And the Bible says his understanding returned. And I blessed the Most High and began to bless God. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, whose kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. In other words, he saw that. And he dwelleth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? Then he said, and at the same time, as he began to worship and praise God, he said, my reason returned to me. That is, my understanding. Ideas began to come back. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and lords sought unto me. In other words, it's just like a person who says, let's say I was in furniture business, things were happening, he had relationships and all of that. God was the one who was orchestrating things. He didn't see it that way. He began to boast about his relationships and boast about all of that. And things began to dry out. And then a time came where he came to understand that, listen, everything came from God. He turned his eyes back unto God and began to worship and praise God. And then his reasoning returned to him. Now, he had been trying different ideas to make the business work. Nothing was moving. His reason returned to him. Understanding returned. He began to implement that. The brightness started coming out. All right, kings were coming to the brightness of the rising. The brightness, the ideas he was implementing there began to draw people. All right, clients started coming back by nature of the innovation. Remember in the book of Romans, the Bible says that when God showed himself as God to the people, they did not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful. So they became vain in their imagination. In other words, they will bring out thoughts from their imagination, but it will end in futility. It was unproductive, and their foolish heart became darkened. The light left them. So the minute Nebuchadnezzar looked up to heaven, and he began to praise God, those thoughts began to come back. Thoughts that took him right into the heart of the mainstream of what was going on in his generation, put him in a position as king, as the number one influencer, all right, for the things that were going on in that particular place. So God begins to bless you with thoughts. And this is the kingdom here. You know, this is what he was saying. When he said, seek ye first. He said, look, you are praying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? He said, what you should ask for is the kingdom in what you are doing. That seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. That righteousness, the meaning of that word is, you know, acting and doing right, carrying out your duties without any form of partiality, all right, and that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the conduct of your life. In other words, you don't soil your hands, you don't soil your conscience. He said, be praying for the kingdom and make sure this is the rule. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That follow that path, it will lead to a table that will prepare for you, that your cup will run over. So you don't do anything and you are praying there, the kingdom, all right? Now, when the kingdom comes, he says, all these other things shall be added unto you. Now, let me, you think about this. Will you go and meet, let's say someone like Bill Gates, and tell him that your concept of God is that, you know, I'm praying for what I will eat, what I will wear. Your concept of God is that I'm praying for promotion at work. That's your concept there of God. That's the Almighty God. What he is doing inside you is that you are praying for this car, I'm praying for that car, I'm praying for these clothes. He will look at you and say, what exactly? Is that the concept of who God is? All right? In other words, the concept is to receive the kingdom. And that they understand, which means ideas start coming. Your reasoning, thoughts start coming. Powerful things begin to come. That he says, when you have this kingdom there, he says, all these other things shall be added unto you. You won't have to think about what I will eat, what I will drink. It will be there. All right? It thinks you even be distributing all of that. In fact, what you will be thinking about is what I don't eat because I can eat anything. Do you get what I'm saying here? What I don't wear because I can wear anything. That's the kingdom in operation. Now, many people forfeit that kingdom, all right, by, you know, chasing all these small things, what I eat, what I wear. Can you imagine, instead of Joseph or, you know, waiting for the kingdom to come, he was getting offended that in the promotion exercise inside the jail, he was not promoted to the place where he ought to have been promoted. Is that the purpose of God or the kingdom there? When the kingdom came, Pharaoh looked at him and said, only on the throne, which means only by name, you are the influencer in this particular place. He was carrying something. And God says it is his good pleasure. That's what Jesus said, to give you the kingdom. He knows what you need. Get the kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you, all right, as a person. So the first rule we are looking at is giving him glory for every single thing. What do you mean by that? Now, God gave me some scriptures and asked that we do something, all right, in this service after I read the scriptures and teach. Put up Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 7. Sorry, Jeremiah 13 and verse 15. We're going from 15 to 17. It says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud. Now, the Bible tells us God resists the proud. It's not the devil. Many people think, you know, some things they go through, they believe it's the devil resisting them. God, or they need to resist. God resists the proud. That is, he stops the proud. He stops it in his tracks. They are not going further. Resist. Once he sees pride, God resists that person. He says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Verse 16. It says, give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon dark mountains. And while you look for light, he turned it to the shadow of death. In other words, you make decisions and you stumble in darkness. It says, he turns it to the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. What is he asking for? He says, wherever you are, all right, give me the glory. Don't touch the glory. Don't attribute the glory or the performance of that thing. Listen, when you understand the laws of the kingdom, if somebody opens their mouth and says, you know, we are the ones, or I am the one responsible for it, your spirit will cringe on the inside. In other words, you will look at it and say, this is what God told Adam when he said, you can eat of any tree, but this one, the day you touch it, you die. The day you attribute the glory to yourself, that is the beginning of the end. Do not touch the glory, it belongs to God, all right, which means you give him glory. Now, God says he will resist the proud. Now, how does he resist the proud? God knows us, and when he wants to break pride, he knows exactly where to go to. So when a man is proud, God says, I created you, I know what to touch. And what does he touch? Leviticus here, chapter 26 and verse 19. Leviticus 26 and verse 19. He said, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Then he said, the meaning of it is this. Verse 20. He said, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. In other words, labor as you want to labor. Put in all the strength. He said, when a person takes the glory and they attribute it to themselves and believe that they are the source of it, he said, nothing will work. All right, well, ladies, oh, what's happening? You know, this. He says, all right, lady, you say, well, you know, you get into pride. I'm the most beautiful person. He said, well, don't worry. You can be the most beautiful, but I get all my sons to walk past. Walk past that. You say, what's going on? He said, you have looked at yourself too long in the mirror, and you have taken the glory to yourself. So you say you will go for weddings, and inside your heart you cannot say it. But this is the conversation.
that as beautiful as I am, and this one is getting married, and marry this person. And this person saw me and did not marry me. He says it's pride we are dealing with. You think too much of yourself. You are not the source of the blessing. He says, listen, glory, all right? Anybody that understands the kingdom, the first thing they understand is this. Any citizen of the kingdom knows the door that opens you up to operation is that you kneel down there and you are giving God glory for everything. Things can change in your hands if you don't give God glory. Malachi 2:2. Let's see this here. And after I read the scriptures, I'll tell you what God said we should do, because he gave me the exact song to sing. Malachi 2:2. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart. Do you know what that means? That means it's a quality decision you have made. Lay it to heart. To give glory to my name, saith the Lord. He said, I will send a curse upon you and curse your blessing. Now there is a blessing there. He said, yeah, I've cursed them already because you have not laid it to heart. All right, to lay something to heart means that you have made up your mind. And you are saying that, all right, this is what you have done. That after every step of advancement in your life, you are going to build an altar unto God and you are going to worship him and give him the glory. In other words, this is a manner that God begins to train to receive the fullness of the kingdom. It says when the kingdom of God comes, all right? I mean, I won't call the person's name, but somebody told me something during the week when I was in Ghana. I was talking to somebody. He said, this particular minister has 30 million partners. 30 million partners. 30 million. 500 of them give $5 million every year. That's $2.5 billion. If you are not established in the kingdom, that money can scatter your entire head. In other words, what God is saying is, before we go, we're going to go stage by stage. And every stage is from one altar to another altar. I open up a door, it's worship. Then I open up a bigger door, it's worship. Then I open up a bigger door, it's worship. You get married. The reception is party. Belshazzar made a party, he didn't give God glory. God said, come. He saw the handwriting on the wall. The Bible says his knees were shaking like this. He went to call Daniel. Daniel said, this day it is written, the kingdom has departed from you. People can have a party, but you and your spouse have worship session after the wedding. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And give God glory. You do anything that seems like a party. The party can be for the people, but before they come in the morning, give God all of the glory. In other words, worship and empty the glory, all right, before God. Every step of the way, right, God wants that. And he told me, he said, listen, there is a song I want the entire congregation to sing. And he says, I want every single person here, we've done every service, to look into their lives, and that every, that don't just preach it, every advancement they have, that this morning they should give me all the worship and glory, so it becomes the beginning of a new day. Are you following what I'm saying here? If anything has been stopped, you have experienced any stagnation, all right, it's because of pride. It is not the devil. You have resisted, you are bound, you have fasted. God, you can't bind him. God, you can't pray him away. If the decision is to resist, he says, but I give grace to the humble. Grace means unforced rhythms. In other words, things just begin to flow, all right, and it comes as a result, right, of humility. So let's just rise up to our feet, all right, I will take the song right, and here is the song, and this is the song. We're going to sing it for about 7 minutes or so, but we keep singing it to God and look into your lives there, all right, every part of your life, and give him glory. And the song is simple. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor. All right, we give you all the glory,
we give you honor, we give you all the glory, we give you honor,
we give you, Lord,
we give you all the glory,
all the honor.
We give you all the glory.
We give you all the glory.
sin under the sound of my voice. That as you have given God honor and glory for every advantage that he has brought into your life, today is the least you will ever be on the earth in the name of Jesus. I declare to those who might have been experiencing stagnancy, that have been reaching out for things and wondering what was going on, that have not been able to receive any new breakthrough ideas in the past. Those ideas used to cause you to flourish and move from one level to another. And you are the envy of people all around you. But suddenly that tap dried up. I declare unto you, the heavens are opened over your life now. And a new rain begins to fall into your life. One after the other, great ideas begin to pour into your soul. Great insight begins to come into your life. And you walk out of this place a brand new man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.